passing is only a form of the Ramban, that is introduced in the days of Ezra, and in the period of Baishani.
And that's why they only introduced it with respect to our Proverbs Kabbalahs. They never introduced it with respect to Achilas Truma. But Kohani Chazaka Vada Kohani. Not that there's a Sophic about it. It's not that it's a Sophic the Rabban Lekul and Sophic the Raisa Bechumer. Vada Chazaka Vada Kohani. And Rabbi Kiveger and the Chassam Sefer were both maskim. Rabbi Tzvihirsh Kalashiv is the Talmud of Rabbi Kiveger. So he sent his whole country to his Rebbe, so he was maskim. Then it was a major issue. They thought it was relevant lavacha. They didn't realize that there was a mosque on the Makom HaMikdash. They thought it's Nagel HaMaisa. So Kivega sent it to the Chassam Sefer. It happened to be his son-in-law. So he was also a maskim. So they were all maskim about the possibility of building a Beis HaMikdash there without a Medina, without a Jewish Medina, and being makriv korbanos. And they all agreed to this idea that Kohanim bizman hazeh abadei Kohanim, they're not selfish Kohanim. And Kohani Chazok is only a chumim in the Rabbonim that they shouldn't be makruv kabbalah. So that's why it's not right that some Rabbonim are still makel today when there are some issues come up with respect to marriage. If a kohen is allowed to marry a girl and it's a shaila in the Gemara, whether this girl is mitaris l'kohen or not. So some want to say, well, the kohanim today are only suffik kohanim, and the suffik in the Gemara is only an issue to Rabbonim. So it's a suffik to Rabbonim l'kula. It's not the Kohanim today are not, that's ancient, that's an old mistake that was made by the early Yacharinim. For the days of Rabbi Kiveger on, for the days of Rabbi Tzvi Hishkalash on, it is assumed that the Kohanim are Bada Kohanim, they're not Safek Kohanim, and there's no room to be Mekom. There is such a thing as a Safek Kohanim. The Mishnah in Yevamos has a case of Safek Kohanim. Two women gave birth, one is Mrs. Cohen and one is Mrs. Levy. And they both gave birth and one is Mrs. Israel. All three women gave birth in the hospital, and they mixed up all the three babies, and you can't tell which baby is which. If it's Manazer, you can tell by the blood test or whatever, DNA, you can tell 1, 2, 3. It's very easy to tell. But the Bismana Mishnah, you couldn't tell who's who. So the Mishnah talks about a Suffolk coin. So what do you do? How do you treat the Suffolk coin? How do you treat the Suffolk lady? How do you treat the Suffolk Israel? Okay. But you don't assume that Kohani Chazok are Suffolk Kohani. Pashtus says we assume that they are all Vadai Kohanim. And the Torah forbids the Kohanim from... I don't think so. The Binyan Tzion, the first two letters in the Shal Shiva's Binyan Tzion, are to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher about the possibility of Binyan Tzion. That's why he named the Sefer. It's a collection of Shabbos and Tshuvas on all of Dalet Chelk and Shulchanot. But he named it Binyan Tzion because of the first two Tshuvas. Yeah. So he disagrees with Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher for different grounds. He disagrees. He says if you have to have authorization from a Novi to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's how many others say as well. That the Gemara, the Sifrei has a drasha on the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, the Sheikh Mersidu Shul Vasa Shama Drosh Alpi Navi. So he understood that to mean that you need a Navi to authorize the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So others said, well, that's only a Sifrei and it doesn't appear in the Gemara. So others argued back, no, it does seem to appear in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gimel Nevim Olu Imahim Yibavol, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael at the time of the beginning of the Binyan by Sheni, and he decided he's not going to send any more Nevi'im to Bnei Yisrael to give them Tachacha. But three Nevi'im he did send, Chagas Chai Malachi, and each one of those Nevi'im guided Bnei Yisrael on three different aspects of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is a little vague. If it says in the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Yuma, the Rebbe Shalom was angry at Bnei Yisrael. He said from now on he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. So why were these three Chagas Chai Malachi, why were they an exception to the rule? So it would seem that that's what Rav Elbala Soloveitchik says, that's what the Binyan Tzion says, that this is the reason why, because if he wouldn't have sent these three Nevi'im, they wouldn't have been able to build the Beis Sheni. In order to build the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have authorization from a Navi. So others disagree with the Chiddush of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher and the Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Kiveger. They all agreed about the possibility of building Beis HaMikdash and so on. They all agreed about that. Others disagreed for other reasons, but from that time on, it's generally assumed that the Kohanim, Bizman is Abadikon, they're not Safekon. The earlier Rachrenim, in the 1700s, in the 1600s, used to write like that. That Kohanim Hazak are only Safek Kohanim. But the Achrayim after the days of Rabbi Kivega were all assumed not so. That they're Vada Kohanim. I don't know. We're not sure what that means. What do you mean? When you do a pidyon aden, so you say a bracha. The Kohen says a bracha. When the Kohen of Duchen they say a bracha, what are they saying? A bracha of Atolah. If it's really a suffix, so let them not say a bracha. So there are Achrayim, the early Achrayim who assumed that Kohani Chazak or only Safek Kohanim were worried about that kasha. So they said something, but as they didn't give a satisfactory answer. And the fact that they say a bracha, that itself is an indication that they're Vada Kohanim. And the fact that they ate Truma Deraisa is an indication that they're Vada Kohanim. The halacha says that the Kohanim are not permitted to come in contact with the mace, and Nefesh Leitama Biyamov. And the Gemara Nazir presents a machlekes amaroyim, the way we have the gear sets a machlekes abai v'rove, and the din is like rove. Whenever there's a machlekes abai v'rove, the din is like rove, unless it's yal kagam, so here it's not. And the Ramon and Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is according to our gear set that it's abai v'rove. All the other gear sets have different names, so the psak will be otherwise. That's how the Mechaber Pasuk. But the Ramon Pasuk that a kohen is not even permitted to come into contact with a goseis. Let's say a kohen wants to go visit a relative in the hospital, and the relative is a goseis, so the people on the floor are gosesim. A goseis means one is holding by dying, one is holding by the very end, is about to die. So even though a goseis is kachai, the chol devar, but goseis is not metame, but still the Ramah paskens against the mechaber, and that's how the Ashkenazim follow the psak of the Ramah, that a kohen is also to come in contact with a goseis, even though the goseis is not metame. Religions of the world were always interested in spirituality, and they realized that there's such a thing as spirituality as opposed to gashmius, when babies were born and when people died. When a baby's born, then there's a spirit, there's a ruach chayim that's in the baby, it's not just a piece of flesh. And when a person dies, there was a spirit that disappeared. There used to be a spirit, and now it's only a goof without a neshama. So that's why in all the different religions, Tesis points out to Masechus Avodah Zarah, the practice always was, when a baby was born or when somebody died, they used to do some kind of religious activities. The ministers of all the religions used to get involved there to capture the spirituality. So the Torah says that in our religion, the Kohanim was supposed to be the clergymen, Kohen, are not supposed to get involved in any mason. And it could even be that that's why we're in the Haftarah, Parshas, and more, we have all of the special dinim of the Kohanim reviewed again from the Chumash, it's from the Novi Yecheskel. So it says the Kohanim are not allowed, Rosh and Loi Galecha, they're not allowed to shave off all the hair, but also Ferah Loi Shalecha, they're not allowed to have long hair. Because some yichsenu es rashem, they have to be properly groomed. Once they're properly groomed, they have to take a haircut. They have to see to it that 30 days doesn't go by. They have to take a haircut on a regular basis. It doesn't mean that they have to have hair like this. In the days of George Washington, said minik was that the men wore long hair also. They all wore long shefa. So they have to take a haircut every 30 days. It should look good. Whatever is makubal, whatever is considered proper. But if you leave 30 days go by, whatever your hair is supposed to look like. If a guy has a crew cut and he lets his hair go too long, more than 30 days, it doesn't look good. According to that style, if a guy has a haircut like this, if he goes 30 days, if he has long hair, he lets it go 30 days. So whatever it's supposed to look like, if you let it grow more than 30 days, that's Tera Lo Yishalechu. You learn that Tera Tera from Nazir. So the Kohanim have to be careful with the hair, and the Kangaroo even has to be more careful with the hair. That Pasuk in the Haftarah from Yecheskel speaks about the Kangaroo also. The Gemara says in the second Perek in Sanhedrin, that the Kengodu has to take a haircut once a week. The Melech has to take a haircut once a day. How can he take a haircut once a day? He still means that he shaves once a day. I don't know what he does. How can he take a haircut once a day? But the Kengodu has to take a haircut once a week to really be properly groomed. Not like the clergymen of other religions, some of whom would shave off all the hair, And others would let the hair grow long. Arayana Zah, you have pictures in the newspapers, you have the Hare Krishna and the other guys. Apparently the hair also has to do with life and death. Taisus writes in the first parak in Baba Kama that a mace is also bahana, doesn't apply to the seir hamace. Apparently the hair is dead matter, it's not considered live matter. It's 2 days in the two girsas in the Gemara, the end of the first parak in Erechin, where the Isa Hano of mace applies even to the seir. There's a long arichas there. If you look in the Ha'aris of Epshlaim, it only has a long arichas based on two girsas that appear in the Shalosh Shuvos HaRashbo, or how to read the Gemara there at the end of the first parak in Erechin, whether seir hamace is osabano or seir hamace is mutabano. The Tosis in the first parak in Bava Kama had the girsa that seir hamace is mutabano. So that's probably the reason why, that the hair is dead matter as opposed to the rest of the body, which was alive, and then when the person dies, then it's dead. So that's a mace. And this hair is not considered a mace because it wasn't so alive while the person was alive. But apparently the obsession of the Galochim, of the other religions, to have some connection with the dead carried over to the issue of the hair as well. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, and he carries this over into the Arach HaZaka as well, that the reason why the Torah writes specifically this apparently was the practice of the Galochim of the other religions. That's why we call them Galochim. It's to shave all the hair, is to shave off the pace, or shave off the beard, whatever. There was some obsession with hair. Apparently also had some connection with death. So the Baruch Shalom wants the Kohanim shouldn't have any connection at all with death. You can be spiritual while you're alive and kicking and not have anything to do with death. The exception to the rule is the Zayin Kraven. With respect to the seven relatives, then the Torah says, Lo Yitamo, and this is a machloik yisatanai, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Where the Lo Yitamo is the Rishus, Rabbi Shmuel holds that he's permitted, the Kohen is permitted if he chooses to attend the funeral of the seven relatives, but he's not obligated to. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. And the halacha was accepted, like Rabbi Akiva, the Lo Yitamo is a chayvah, he's obligated to be mitame to the Zayin Kraven. The Gemara has an expression in the beginning of Maseches Sota on Daf Gimel. At one point, the Gemara suggests that this Machlokes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel is not a local Machlokes only here with respect to Lo Yitamo. We find it in another two instances, and it seems to indicate a style of understanding called a Torah Kula. The other two places are with respect to an Eved Kenayni. It says, the pasuk says that when you have an Eved Ivri, so you have to let the Eved Ivri go free after 6 years, and when it comes the Yom Kippur of Shnas HaYoivo, but in Eved Kenayni it says it's not so. He doesn't go free. He goes free b'shem liyayin, but he doesn't go free with sheish, and he doesn't go free with yoivo. And the expression that appears in the end of Vayikra is liyola mahem tavoidim. So that's also a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that it's optional. If you want to, you have a right to hold on to your Eved Kenayni forever and ever. You never have to free him. You don't have to free him when it comes Yovel. You don't have to free him. If you don't want to, you don't have to free him if it comes Sheish. If you want to free him, it's up to you. But why should you? If you're not interested in maintaining the Eved Kenayni, so go sell him to someone else. Why should you free him? But if you want to, Gizantei. Rabbi Akiva says no, that I'm a Shachar Abdo, Eber Be'esei, that the Olamem Tavoidu is a Choyvo. And then the Gemara quotes the third instance. This is the beginning of Soita and Dav Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara quotes the third instance is in the Parsha Soita. It says, "Va'avu alav ruach kina v'kina yisishta." That if the man is suspicious that his wife was acting improperly with someone else, it says v'kina yisishta, and he warns his wife that she shouldn't do anything improper. So that's also machlekes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says it's a rishus. If he happens to have such chashoshes, if he's choshed his wife, so then v'kina yisishta. If he's mekana his wife, so this and this will be the din. And Rabbi Akiva says no, that it's a mitzvah, that it's a chayva, that if the husband has concern that his wife is not being faithful, he's obligated to be mekana his wife. So the Gemara suggests that maybe these three disputes in these three places between the same three tanaim, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, maybe it's Lishitosam, because in all three cases Rabbi Akiva says chayva, Rabbi Shmuel says rishus, and maybe it indicates a style of understanding called a terakula, where the Kala Terakula is chayva. Kol ha-terekula is rishus. What exactly does that mean? What the kol ha-terekula is rishus? What do you mean? It says you put on tefillin. It means if you want to. It says you have to keep Shabbos if you want to. What do you mean kol ha-terekula is rishus ha-chayva? Exactly, what does that mean? So it could be that the Gemara is alluding to the idea that the Chayvus Alvavus has. There was a Musa Sefer that was written by one of the big Rabbanim who lived in Vilna in the days of the Vilna Gaon. He's outshined by the Vilna Gaon. So everybody else faded into insignificance in the presence of the Vilna Gaon. But he was famous on his own right. He wrote a Sefer, Yisod V'Sherash HaAvodah. The author's name is Rabbi Alexander Ziskin, and some of his descendants are known by the family name Beraz, B'nai Rabbi Alexander Ziskin, Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah Brura once in a while refers it to this sefer, he said B'shar Shavai. So in this sefer he refers to this idea that he calls Klava Hayofa Shabal Chavis Alvavis, that the Chavis Alvavis claims that there's no such thing as a Dvar Harshus. Everything in the world is black and white. There's nothing, there's no gray area. Either you're obligated to do this or you're forbidden to do it. Let's say the person has a choice what to do this summer. Should he go to Eretz Yisrael? Should he go hiking? Or should he go bicycling cross country? Or should he go boating? Or should he go to camp? Or should he do this? So the din says that he's mukhif to do whatever is best for his health, whatever is best. Yes. So it's not that it's a gray area. No, each person has a million options and he has to figure out whatever is the best option for his purposes, for his religious growth and for his physical well-being and so on. And then he's mechuyif to do that. So sometimes the halacha will be kaveh, you're mechuyif to go bicycling cross country. You're mechuyif to go boating all summer long. You're mechuyif to go hiking. It's not that I got a choice to do whatever I want. No, there is a choice in the world. And for some people, they're mechuyif to do this, and for other people, they're mechuyif to do that. That's what let's say a guy has a choice, either to go into Rabbanus, or to go into Chinuch, or to go into medicine, or to go into law. It's not that he has a choice. There are many choices in the world. And each person has to see what is he cut out for, and where will he have the most sipul kanefesh, and where will he accomplish most of the world. And that's the area that he's obligated to enter into. It's not that it's a gray area. It starts off as being gray, then it becomes black and white. It's absolutely obligatory to do that. So that's what the Yisrael of Sherish HaVeder refers to as the Klola HaYofa Shabal Chavis HaVogs, that there's no such thing as a Dvar HaShus. So it sounds a little bit in the Gemara as if the Gemara suggested at one point that that is the Machlokes Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Shmuel, that the three instances that they were working on, the Lo Yitamo and Le'olam Em Tavoidu and the Kine Yisishtoi Vavar Ol Baruch Kine V'Kine Yisishtoi, that's all the Shitasa. Rebbe Shmuel thinks that there is such a thing as a Dvar HaShus. Sometimes you can decide whatever you want, however, whatever mood you happen to be in. And Rabbi Akiva perhaps disagrees and he says, no, Kalat Harkula is black and white. There's no such thing as a Dvar HaShus. You cannot interpret a pasuk that it's speaking about Dvar HaShus. Taisus there on Saita is bothered with a kasha. There's a famous kasha, the Ramban, on the first page in the Sefer HaMitzvos says the kasha. Is it so that there are 613 mitzvahs? Does everybody agree to that? Look at these three psukim. Rabbi Yishmael knocks out three mitzvahs. He says that these are not a chayva. He says it's only optional. So it doesn't count. Lo Yitama doesn't count as one of the tariach mitzvater. It's just a heter. There is an iser, the nefesh lo Yitama b'yamav. So here you have a heter that that the kohen is permitted if he chooses to. He's permitted to the mitzvah to design krevet. So Rabbi Yishmael deletes three mitzvahs from the minyan of tariach. So it means that not everybody subscribes to the principle that there are 630 mitzvahs. So the Taisvis and the Ramban both give the same answer. Mistana, he will substitute three other mitzvahs instead of these, which Rabbi Akiva will dispute. Rabbi Akiva will hold that his three mitzvahs don't count. Mistana, that's the answer. Like you take the Ramban. The Ramban wrote a whole sefer on mitzvahs where he lists off what he considers are the Taryag mitzvahs. Then the Ramban picks on the Ramban and he deletes a whole bunch of mitzvahs. Sessin, he deletes a whole number of mitzvahs lay sessin. But he wants to come to the same maskana as the Rambam, that there are Reish Mem Ches mitzvah says and Shin Samachay mitzvah Sloy says. So he replaces the mitzvahs that he deleted with other mitzvahs, and he replaces the Isurim that he deleted with other Isurim. And the end of the Minyan mitzvah, so he tells you what he thinks are the mitzvah says that the Rambam forgot to mention, which are the Loy says. So the Ramban writes that this is, Ramban writes the same as Tesis in the beginning of Satan. This is probably what Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva are going to say. So one of the Gedolim from the 1800s, from the early 1800s, came up with an Ein Fah. He knows which are the three mitzvahs that that Rabbi Shmuel replaced instead of these three of Rabbi Akiva that he deleted. It's a Mishnah Menachas. There is a Machlekes HaTanoim and Menachas. If a person has a four-cornered garment and he's obligated to put tzitzis in all four corners, so do you say that all four corners are constitute one big mitzvah? The Dalet Tzitzis HaMe'akim Zezeh. Whatever it's Ma'akim Zezeh, that's an Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvah, that's an indication that it's one mitzvah. Dal Minim Shebelulav HaMe'akim Zezeh, so the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. Masheni Kein Dalet Tzitzis, Dalet Tzitzis are also Ma'akim Zezeh as one mitzvah. Masheni Kein Leitz at Tvimel Shel Yad and Tvimel Shel Rosh, so the Rambam writes that because the Mishnah tells us that I'm Ma'akim Zezeh, so that's an indication that they're two distinct mitzvahs. So there in the Mishnah in Perek HaTcheles in Menachas, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is quoted that the Dalit Tzitzis in the four corners are Dalit mitzvahs. That's the Lashon HaMishnah. They're four distinct mitzvahs, and he means to say that the Nach Me'akim Zezeh. So one of the Gedolim in the early 1800s wrote, you already have a ready-made teretz on the kasha. Rabbi Shmuel, we know, has three additional mitzvahs because he holds that the Dalit Tzitzis constitute four mitzvahs. So later Gedolim write that they don't think that he's correct. The Ksav Sefer writes in the Hagdamah to Yisrael HaTshuvos, he quotes this, and he thinks that it's not correct at all. He says, what do you say if a person has a home with 20 rooms and he needs 20 mezuzahs? So it counts as 20 mitzvahs in the Tariag mitzvahs. No, mezuzah, you put a mezuzah on every door, you're repeating the same mitzvah 20 times. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the four corners that you put four tzitzios in the four corners, it doesn't count as four distinct mitzvahs in the northeast corner, in the southeast corner, in the northwest corner. What do you mean? It's a repeat of the same mitzvah four times. It doesn't count as four mitzvahs. It's like putting out a mezuzah on four doors. If you have 50 doors in your apartment, so you put on 50 mezuzahs. It's not going to count for 50 mitzvahs. You fulfill 50 mitzvahs. They're not matching there, but it's a repeat of the same mitzvah. And the minyan mitzvahs, it only belongs once. You don't count it as four distinct mitzvahs. Not a separate mitzvah to put a tzitzit in the front corner on the right side, and then another mitzvah in the front corner on the left side. And if you wear the beged backwards one day, the pashtus is that he's right. The Ksav Sefer is right. But that's not those are not the three mitzvahs that you have to replace. This pasuk lo yitamor, the way we pass like Rabbi Akiva, is assumed to be the marker of the institution of kavod abriyos. The Gemara has a whole sugya in brachos on daf chof regarding this principle of kavod abriyos. The pasuk happens to be speaking about kavod amesim. You have to be mechabed even the dead body, but there's a kal v'chaimer that you have to be mechabed living people. You even have to be mechabed dead people. Kal v'chaimer living people. You have to mechabed living people more than you mechabed dead people. So many people have an attitude. While the guy was alive, we don't give him any respect. I'm more important than him, equally important, more important than him. After he dies, oh, then you got to show respect. What's that? You have to show respect. You stand up, when they bring in the mace, everybody stands up. And we never stood up while the guy was alive. Why are we standing up when the guy is dead? So the Baal Tanur writes in his commentary on Mishnah's Bikurim that the Mishnah says that when the pilgrims were walking towards Yerushalayim and carrying their Bikurim, everybody would stand up out of respect for the Osei Mitzvah. So he writes that that's the reason why we stand up when they bring in the mace, not out of respect for the dead body. We didn't stand up while he was alive. Why should we stand up now that he died? There's more of a chiyuv kavod abriyos while the person is alive than after he died. No, what it means is we're standing up out of respect to the chevra kadisha who are fulfilling a mitzvah now. They're carrying the mace. The same thing when they bring in the baby for the bris milah. We're not standing up out of respect for the baby. What's the chashivus? Baby was just born. Well, why does he deserve any respect? We're standing up out of respect for the kvata, that the kvata is bringing the baby to perform the mitzvah with him. A respect for the oisei mitzvah. Like you stand up out of respect for the farmers who are going to bring bikurim. You're not standing up out of respect for the bikurim. You're standing up out of respect for the plain farmers because they're in the process of doing a mitzvah now. And whenever one is unable to give respect to both living and dead, there's a conflict. So which one takes precedence? So the Gemara says in Ksubis, in the beginning of the second paragraph, that Kavod HaChaim is other from the Kavod HaMesim. The Gemara says if there's a crossroads and there's a wedding procession going in one direction, Chasen Kala, with a whole group of people attending a wedding, they're going to celebrate with the Chasen Kala. And then there's a funeral going in another direction, And only one group can go at a time. They can't both go at the same time. So mi nitcha mipnei mi. So the Brisa says that derchem is ames mipnei achosim v'akala. And the Shita Mekubetzes over there quotes from the Brisa Maseches Mochas that it's not just the local din. It's a general quality. Kavod Achaim is other from Kavod Amesim. The din of Kavod Amesim only applies. The din of Kavod Abris applies to non-Jews as well. They're also Abris, but the din of Kavod Amesim that only applies to Jewish Mesim. That doesn't apply to non-Jewish Mesim. Apparently, there's a difference between the mitzvah of Kvura. Kvura is Ames. The Kila Selekim Talui. The pasuk says. You have to bury the person because he has Kavod Abrius. You see that Kavod the fact that man has Tzelem Elokim is the general Mechayv of Kavod Abrius in general. And the non-Jews also have Tzelem Elokim. But after they die, then there's no longer a Chiyuv to be Mechayv. Only Kolzman, the Nochri is alive. But by Yisraelim, the din of Lo Yitama even applies, the din of Kavod Abrius even applies after the person died. It's a difference. Why? It's a good question. Why? Chaim Volozhiner explains that there's a difference between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha the Gemara has. In Megillah, the Tashmishei Mitzvah calls Ma Mitzvosam, you have to treat it with respect. A palace, a shofar, a sukkah, a lulav. But Lachas Ma Mitzvosam, after the Zman of the Mitzvah is up, then you're not mechuyev to treat it with respect. Mashena came, Tashmishei Kedusha, even after it became Nifsal. Have a sefer Torah, tefillin, a mezuzah, and it became so mekukol that it's not even shaykh to correct it, to fix it. Still, you have to treat it with respect, and you have to bury it in the shemus. So the tashmishei kedusha, you have to be mechaben even after zman mitzvah mezav, as opposed to the tashmishei mitzvah, you only have to show respect called zman mitzvah. So perhaps this is, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim gives you a definition. How does one determine what constitutes a Tashmishei Mitzvah, what constitutes a Tashmishei Kedusha? How do you decide? So he says, Tashmishei Kedusha are those things where there's Divrei Torah. And he quotes the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says that when a person is performing a mitzvah, so the mitzvah will be megen on the person, protect him, should protect him, temporarily, Kozman is doing the mitzvah. Kozman is performing the mitzvah. Should protect him, that nothing should. Shluch a mitzvah in him, nizokim. He should be protected physically, and he should be protected spiritually, that he shouldn't be nichshol in any aver. He should be megan on him, that he shouldn't violate other averes. But after he finishes doing the mitzvah, then the mitzvah will no longer protect him, as opposed to learning Torah. Learning Torah is supposed to have a longer lasting effect, that it should be megan on the person, even after he stops learning Torah, even when he's not learning Torah. The Gemara compares the difference between the two based on a pasuk, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, the mitzvahs are compared to a candle, and learning Torah is compared to a torch. That a torch lasts much longer than a candle. A candle is only lefishah, and a torch has a longer lasting effect. So that's why Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim, he thinks that the reason why Tashmishei Kedusha Nignozim, even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, you have to treat them with respect, is because they had the Divrei Torah in them. That's the definition of Tashmishei Kedusha. So if the Torah is filled in a mezuzah that has the Divrei Torah, so Torah leaves a roshem that lasts on even after the Zman, even for later, for longer, like a torch. So that's why it has the status of you have to give it respect even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up. As opposed to mitzvahs only leave a roshim temporarily. Calls man yeroisik in the mitzvahs. After the Zman HaMitzvah is up, then you don't have to treat the Tashmishei Mitzvah with respect anymore. It's mizrachim, you can throw it out in the garbage. So it could be that that's perhaps the difference between the Kavod Abrius that's required of a person. We are required to give, we are obligated to show Kavod Abrius to the Yisraelim and to the Nochrim. Perhaps this is the difference. The Gemara says that even a Jew who never learned the word of Torah, an ignorant Am Haaretz, but our tradition has it, we assume, whatever this means, that the Malach teaches the baby Kala Tarakula before he's born. The Jewish babies. The Jewish babies learn Kala Tarakula. So every Jewish neshama is considered like a Tashmishei Kedusha. Because there is an imprint of Divrei Torah, and even though the baby forgets it when he's born, and the person after he's born never learns the word of Torah, but it's going to be Rishuma Nikar, the effect of the Divrei Torah that was engraved, so to speak. on his neshama is going to have a lasting effect. And that's why there's a requirement to show respect for the body that had the divrei Torah in it, even after the person dies, after the zman mitzvah is up. Now he doesn't even have an opportunity to learn Torah if he wants to. As opposed to the Nachri doesn't have the Torah engraved on his body. It's just like a tashmish mitzvah. Kol zman the Nachri is alive, so he has an obligation to keep Sheva mitzvahs ben erach. Some of them do, and some of them don't. Okay, so those who keep the Sheva mitzvah, so they deserve respect. You should give them kavod abrias because they're polishing up their tzelem alakim. But after they die, so it's no more tzelem alakim, shine fetch. The lasting effect that even after the zman mitzvah is up, you still say lo yitama. There's even a din of kavod amesim, so that's restricted only to Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara in Nazir has a machloikis Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef about that. Nazir or a kohen, the same. Nazir a kohen who already was mitami to a mace. So if he's going to be mitami to another mace on the next day, so he's going to be mace to multi master. He's going to need a longer period of 7 days. He needs hazor shlishi shvi. So if he's going to come in contact with a mace tomorrow, that's going to prolong the days of tumah that he has. So that they all agree is forbidden. The machlokes Rabbi Rav Yosef is what about on the same day? If he came in contact with a maze and now he's no longer holding on to the maze, and then he comes in contact with another maze, is that considered Moisef Tumal to Masa? Because after all, he's not prolonging the days of the Hazor Shlishi Shvi. The second tumah was after the first tumah on the same day, so it's going to be the same Hazor Shlishi Shvi anyway. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says the issue is whether tumah b'chiburim is deraisa or not. Kol zman that I'm holding on to a mace, the mace is avi avos atumah. When I touch the mace and I walk away, I'm an av atumah. Then when I touch something, I make that something or somebody into a rishon atumah. Kol zman I'm holding on to the mace though, and I touch the other person, so not only am I an av atumah, the other guy's also an av atumah. That's called tumah b'chibur. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether tumah b'chiburim is a din d'araisa or din d'rabbanan. If tumah b'chiburim is a din d'araisa, then if he went to his mother's funeral, then on the same day he goes to his brother's funeral, he's going to touch brother's funeral is mutter. He's also one of the zayin korban. He goes to a stranger's funeral, so if he's going to, even if he's going to come in contact with his second mace on the same day, even though he's not prolonging the hazlash shlishi shvi, is it considered moisif tumal temasai or not would depend on this shaila. If tumah b'chibur is deraisa, it means that at the time that I'm holding on to the mace, I am considered like an avi avos atumah. So since I already let go from the original mace, he went to his mother's funeral, and he let go, so he's only an av atumah, he's no longer avi avos. Then when he's going to touch this new mace, he's going to come in the same oil on mace with the new mace, so then he's going to be on a higher level of tumah. So that's where the Gemara presents the issue. And it's a machlekes in Hilchas Ovel between the Rambam and the Ravid, how to paskin. Whether to paskin like Rabbi, to paskin like Rabbi Yosef. And the Rambam paskin is l'chumr, that the Kozman, that he's still holding on to the first mace, then there's no issue to touch another mace at the same time. But once he let go, he's no longer holding on to the, no longer b'chiburim with the original mace, no longer in the same oil, no longer maga master with the original mace, then even though he's not Moisef Tumal Temasai by prolonging the Hazor Shlishi Shvi, but still he's going to touch another mace, he does cause himself to have a higher level of Tumah. It is Moisef Tumal Temasai. That's the way the Rambam paskens. And the Ravid writes not so. The Ravid writes not so. But it's problematic in the Ravid. That the Ravid writes, the Rambam writes that whoever does that is loike. Someone touched a mace, a kohen touches a mace and then he stops touching mace, then he touches the second mace on the same day. So the Rambam says loike. So the Ravid says he doesn't think that he's loike. Questionable when the Ravid says not loike, he means that it's mutter. Based on the Gemara, should have said mutter. Does the Ravid mean mutter? Or did he mean, no, it's also, but it ain't a loike? That was a big question. The Mishnah Melech discusses that in Hilchas Sabbah, what did the Rabbit mean to say? So in later generations, they pointed out that the Rabbit writes explicitly in the Sefer Tmim Deim, most of which is from the Rabbit. It's a collection of some quotations from other Rishonim as well here and there. It always says whom they're quoting, but most of the Tmim Deim is by the Rabbit. So then the Tmim Deim, it says beferish that there is an Issa Deraisa. The Rabbit agrees that there is an Issa Deraisa. It just says that there's no Malkus. So it's not so partial that the Rabbit holds that it's Mutter. And then the Shulti Giborim and the beginning of Masechus Shvuas quotes from the Smag that if one would adopt the position of the Rabbit, he assumes that it's Mutter. One would adopt the position of the Rabbit that a Koyin who touched the mace today, one of the Zaykrim, not one of the Zaykrim, doesn't make a difference. He touched the mace, either the Heter or the Issa, and he let go. And the Rabbit holds that you're permitted to touch another mace on the same day. That's not the way it says in the Tmim Deim. The Tmim Deim says that you're not allowed to an Issa Deraisa, but you ain't a loike. And that's the way the Mashmois is in the Lashon HaRabbit. That you want to give Malkus all of Haraya. He says that he doesn't think there's any Malkus. Sounds like there is an Issa. But the Smag understood and misunderstood the Rabbit is saying that it's Heter Gomor. And then the Smag adds on a giant step. He goes a giant step past that. So he says that since Bizman is there, we don't have access to any Efer Pora Duma. So a Kohen who was once the Tami to a mace is being permitted Lahatzila to go to any funeral he wants even a year later. So what do you mean he's prolonging the Hazor Shlishi Shvi? We don't have any Hazor Shlishi Shvi. He's not prolonging anything. He's not being Moses to Maltimosa. So the whole statement is so strange. What do you mean? But theoretically, just because Lemaisiv is no has Efer Pora, but theoretically he's being Maisiv to Maltimos. I don't know, but that's what some rely on. Some rely on that. That Shulti Giborim quotes the Smag. It's in the Smag on the Sefer Mitzvos, who says that according to the opinion of the Rabbit, his understanding of the Rabbit, that the Rabbit meant to say that the Kohen is permitted to touch another mace on the same day because he's not Moses Tumal Temasai, so Bizman is there, we don't have any access to Efer Poros, is even permitted to touch a mace on a different day. Shver is smug. It's very difficult. Rabbi Kivega writes on Yeridaya that there is a din in the Gemara that the Kohanim don't observe, even the most observing Kohanim don't observe. Gemara says that all the Chutzlar that we call Eretz Amin has a tumah midirabbanah like a cemetery. There's tumas eretz amin. You treat all of chutzlof like one big cemetery. What is that based on? So the Gemara says that because the nochem bury all over, and not only the nochem have the practice of burying all over, but more than that, in the days of the mabul didn't affect eretz yisrael. The mabul only affected chutzlof. So the dead bodies strewn all over the place. So miyodeya, wherever you live, there could be a dead body right below. So midirabbanan we treat it not a real suffix, but actually midirabbanan we treat all of chutzlars like tumas eretz am. So the Gemara says in the Meilu there's a din that a kohen is not permitted to go from eretz Yisrael to chutzlars, and even if the kohen is born in chutzlars, it's like a kohen is born in the cemetery, so he has to run as fast as possible to leave the cemetery. He has to run out of the cemetery, run to eretz Yisrael. So the shaila is, how come we don't see that? Not so common. We see kohanim going from eretz Yisrael to chutzlars. And we see Kohanim who are born in Chutzlar, they don't run to Eretz Yisrael right away. What happened to this din? So Rabbi Kivega on Yeridaya, in the end of Yeridaya, where they have the Hilchas Tumas Kohanim, so Rabbi Kivega writes, he quotes the name of Mari Castro, that since this whole din of Tumas Eretz Amim is only Midir Rabbanon, so here they rely on the Shitas Haraida, that Kohanim is Manazeh, are permitted to be mitame lemeisim because they were already tummy once before. Who says the kohen was tummy once before? Why? Every kohen attended a funeral. Why? A young kohen never attended a funeral. Chas v'sholem, when one of the Zayin Krogim will die, he'll have to attend a funeral. But calls man that no one ever died, everybody's alive. He never attended a funeral. So why should you assume that he's already, he was ready in Av Hatum?
We're not using Erek Chol, but the Tanya is saying.
But he's only Tomei to that extent. He's only Tomei to the extent of Tumas HaMeis, but he never came in contact with the Meis itself. So he's still being Meis of something. the fact that a kohen, we pasuk and a kohen is permitted to come in contact with the cherub or a kecholo, he's not permitted to come in contact with a mace. Obviously, there's something more in the mace than there is in the cherub. So just because he came in contact with a cherub doesn't give him a hetter to come in contact with a mace.
That's just his karmas, but I'm telling you, all these cheshbonos seem to be tumah the power of his karmas.
Yeah.
So in terms of the tumah, it's identical. It's just that he wasn't the
So now he's being the scarf tumah. Now he's being the scarf tumah. He stays in the chutzlot. It's mamsh in the cemetery.
But if you said that tumah that he grew in, like
I
said,
if you touch the body, it's jacked up to like level of body. Tumas Ohel,
are you really doing
anything
more?
Yeah. Tumas Ohel is also
Bichiburin. That's also
Bichiburin? Same, it's considered also whether I'm holding onto a mace or I'm the same Ohel with a mace. That's also Chiburin.
If
I'm
going to take
Ohel
with a mace, I'm going to have the Agnevosa.
While I'm there.
While I'm there.
So even if I'll stick my hand outside of the ohel and touch someone else who's not under the same ohel, he'll become an abatum. Based on the din of tumah b'chibur. And that's a machlokes, whether that's the raisa of the rabbanim. The yikra b'di yikra. It's called the yikra b'di yikra. Somebody touches somebody who's holding onto a mace. So the yikra b'di yikra is the din of tumah b'chibur. And that's the machlokes in the gemara, whether that's the raisa of the rabbanim. Yeah, colorable, colorful as it is, we don't accept this Shita Saraita. The Smag argues the point is that according to the Raiva, the Quran is Manazeb would be Mutta. So we don't pass it like that. We don't pass it like the Raiva. And it's hard to say that we are relying on the Ravid with respect to the Tumas Arasanim. It's a question if the Ravid ever said it, because the Ravid, as it appears in the Tumim Deim, says Fakir. He never said that it's Mutter for the Kohen to be Mitami a second time in the same day. He just says that there's no Malchus, implying that it is an Issa Deraisa, but just that there's no Malchus. Who is the one who pointed it out? That's the Dogma of Ovar writes that someone brought to his attention the Ravid in the Sefer Tvim Deim. So the Hasam Sefer writes in one place in his Chuvas that his Rebbe Rav Nas Nadla once met the Rebbe Yehuda. He was the one who showed it to him. The Rebbe Yehuda used to work on the assumption that the Ravid holds that it's Mutal Atame, the Mason, is Manazeh, according to the Shita Saravid. Mutal Atame, the Mason. So Rav Nas Nadla showed him that it doesn't say like that. So he writes, Hasam Sefer writes, I was there on the occasion when they met. And he said, Rav Nas Nadla showed him the Tumis. And then he realized that he was wrong. So that's why in the Dogma of Ovid, the way it's printed on the side of the Yeridaya, he says it was brought to his attention. It doesn't say it was brought to his attention that it says like that in the Tumim Deim. But the rabbi holds that there is an Issa.
Go back to something that you mentioned, that the Issa of Tumas Kohanim can only be because that was the practice of the people at the time. But I never understood those types of mitzvahs which are only to be mostly from the practice of the Rebbe. But how do we accept, like, for Karbanos with the Rambam, that it's only, how do we accept those? Don't we assume that, like, mitzvahs have some inherent value other than the fact that it's just a whole time of the Rebbe?
Still has that value. The Baruch Shalom wants the Kohanim to be connected with life, not with death.
But it's only because they had that practice and we're doing the opposite.
Okay.
I mean, that's not really inherently a mitzvah. We're just doing it because that was the practice of the order. We're hoping you leave them, we do the opposite. And that's the impression you get.
It is relevant today. People of other religions still make a big tzimis about that. We do not. We say you have to be mechabit the mace, cover a breeze, even after the person dies. But a person can gain spirituality without having anything to do with birth or with death. A person can just be living. It only have to do with living people and gain a lot of spirituality.
So the whole thing is kind of like a siyam tevor zera. That's not itself most of Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, the mitzvah of Tumas Kohanim, how can you say that has it somehow represents its own spirituality? It's just the whole thing.
Okay, Pasuk seems to imply more reasons why. That they should be tahorim, that they should be able to be makar kabbalas in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a positive reason. They should always be, even when the Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash came, they should be prepared. They should be in a state of constant preparation to be makar kabbalas in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Torah gives a list of all the forbidden marriages for the Kohanim, and it says, Vikidashtai, and the Gemara understands, Vikidashtai Balkarchai. The kidashta means dafenu. Rashi writes, al korcha, shim loy rotza da garesh, if the kohen is married to an ishu hasura alav, halkehu, give him malchus, v'yasrehu, and pressure him, and beat him up, bachi garesh. Rashi quotes from Yevamos. The Gemara in Gittin and Perek HaNizokin has another comment on this pasuk. Yikidashtoi l'chol davar shebikdusha l'ftach rishon l'varach rishon l'ital mano yofer rishon. You have to be mechabed the kohanim. So the Tosfos writes in Chulin and Perek Yisi Adam that comment of the Gemara in Gittin, yikidashtoi, to be mechabed the kohanim, to give him the first aliyah, that's only an asmachta. They don't think that that's a din deraisa. The Gemara in Gittin calls it a din deraisa. Margitin says that it's a din deraisa. So the Taisa says it doesn't really mean deraisa. It means it's only an asmachta mit rabban. Because the real pasuk v'kidashta means like Rashi writes achumish v'kidashta bal korcha dafenu. You have to push him and pressure him not to violate the yisuri kuna. Taisa in fact tells the story that the gabbai once, there was only one kohen in shul, and the gabbai called up the kohen to take the first aliyah, and another guy ran up and he took the aliyah. And everybody, he said, Baruch Hashem and Baruch, and everybody answered. He said, and the Valkyrie lay, and he stole the first aliyah. He got away with the whole thing. Everybody went along with it. So the Shaila is, the Gemara says that there's a penalty for one who steals a mitzvah from somebody else. Rabbi Gamliel introduced the penalty that you have to pay asar as a human. Quoting the Choshe Mishpat, Taisa says that Bizman is that we don't have this penalty because we don't have smicha. So we're not dan dinin knosses bizman hazeh. The Shulchan Aruch quotes other Rishayim, but disagree with Taisa. It's a different kind of knoss. You're not dan dinin knosses bizman hazeh means case of dal behei, anis amafata, that kind of stuff. But this is hayroa shor lemigda milsa. This is not one of the knosses hamuris batar. It's a different kind of a knoss. So this knoss he wa dan bizman hazeh. So this is in the end of Chashimish, but they quote this din, that whoever steals a mitzvah from somebody else, you penalize him, you make him pay the asar zuhum. The Taisus discusses this issue, the guy who stole the first aliyah from the Kohen, does he have to pay the Kohen Asar Zuhum? So Taisus thinks he doesn't have to, and they give a few reasons why. So one of the suggestions that Taisus gives is that the penalty only applies when it's a mitzvah deraisa, and this whole idea that the Kohen is entitled to the first aliyah, this is only midirabbanan. It's only a mitzvah deraisa that the person is entitled to midirabbanan. But if it's not, either the mitzvah is only the Rabbanan, or the being entitled to it is only the Rabbanan, then you don't have to pay the Asar HaZuhum. So that's what the Shach in the end of Choshe Mishpat asks the Kashan Taisis. The Gemara tells a story there in Chulin, that on one occasion there were mechabit people were eating. On one occasion, a mechabit one person, he should bench mezuman. And when you bench mezuman, only one who benches mezuman says all the brachas. Everybody else just listens and answers amen at the end. But they don't all say the benching. The Mechaber suggests, the Mechaber recommends, Bizman Hazeh, that people are not so attentive to others, so it's a good idea, you should say along with the Mizamin the whole benching, softly. But Meikar Adin, Bizman HaGemara, only the Mizamin would say the brachas of the benching. So the Gemara has a suffix, this penalty that you make the fellow pay Asar HaZuhum, is that per mitzvah, or is that per bracha? What about if he stole the mezuman? Benching is a din deraisa, and the mechabit is God. They all decided he should bench whatever, the rabbi, he should bench mezuman. So you're stealing four brachas from him, but all the four brachas constitute one mitzvah of Rabbichas HaMazon. So the Gemara is not sure whether he paid 40 zehuvim or 10 zehuvim. Then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, 40 zehuvim. They call it a braisa, yes, 40 zehuvim. He paid $40, 10 zehuvim for each bracha. So the Shach asked the Kasha, but we all know that the fourth bracha in the benching is only midirabbanan. I tell you, I made the love their eyes to the Gemara. So Shaharei, the proof is, the poilim don't, people who are employed by others, not self-employed, so they have to be brief when they daven and have to be mekatzah when they bench. So they have to delete the whole bichas hatayva meitah because it's love their eyes. Shaharei oikim oisal, the Gemara says, the poilim are oikir, the whole bracha, they don't say it at all. So that's all right, that it's only midirabbanan. So why doesn't he just pay 30 zehuvim? If Taisus is right, that on a mitzvah midirabbanan, you don't pay the 10 zehuvim, so why does the Gemara say that the benching is worth 40 zehuvim? So it's a big problem. The Shach talks about it, the Ksais HaChoshim talks about it. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik thought that the 40 zehuvim are 30 for the benching and 10 zehuvim for the Rabbi Simon Valenvention, Baruch Shachan Mishlov Tiv Chayinu, that's a bracha. Because it says in the Gemara that if you walk in and the people just finished reciting the first part of Shalom Shalav Tibuchayinu, so you say Amen. If you're there and you haven't eaten, and the Mezamin says Baruch Shaham Mishaloi Seisei, he says Baruch Shaham Mishaloi Seisei, Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai, if you ate, so you say Baruch Shaham Mishaloi. If you didn't eat, so you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai Tamid Liyanavoi. But they're benching Bo'asara, and he says Nevarach Elokeinu, so if you ate, so you say Nevarach Elokeinu Shacham Mishaloi. If you didn't eat, so you say Nevarach Baruch Elokeinu, Baruch Shmai Tamid Liyanavoi. You can't say Shacham Mishaloi. What if you came in after they already answered? And you realize that they just answered, Baruch HaLakein HaShachal Mishalav Tivuchayinu. So then it says in the Gemara that you say Amen, because that's also considered a bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's their Isa. The Gemara learns that Birchas HaZimun from Sukkot. So he thought that's an institution their Isa. And those are the four brachas. The first three brachas of the Birchas HaMazon, Azonas HaKol, Aloras HaLamazon, and Rachim Noh, and he thought the fourth bracha is not Atev Ameite, but rather the bracha deraisa. The fourth bracha deraisa would be the Zimun itself, which constitutes a bracha. Anyway, that's a famous thesis in Chulin on the Afpei Zayin. The thesis suggests that this Vikidashta V'chaldovish Abigdusha, that the Gemara calls that deraisa. The Gemara in Perakan Ezelkan in Gittin says that that's a din deraisa. The thesis tones it down, and they say that the word deraisa doesn't really mean deraisa. It means it has an asmachta. It's only the Rabbanah has an asmachta. That's a shiloh. The Gemara in Ksuba says that a married woman has to cover her hair. The Gemara says that that's a din deraisa. So some don't want to say it doesn't really mean a deraisa. It means it's a derabbanah, but it has an asmachta. Like Taisa says over here, the kidashta. It says the kidashta is deraisa. The Taisa writes in Chulin, it doesn't mean deraisa. It means it's a derabbanah with an asmachta. Some want to say that it doesn't make too much of a difference whether it's a deraisa or a derabbanan. Orthodox Jews observed Dinim derabbanan also. What prompted some to say that it's only derabbanan is because the Sifrei and that Pasuk and Parshas Soiton, Parshas Naso, that says a foras Rosh Isha, it says when a Isha Soita comes to the Beis Hamikdash, so the kohen who's going to administer the Maim Amorim should uncover her hair and loosen her hair and so on, be mevaza her. So it says in the Sifrei, it says, married women have to cover the hair. Rafal Pishain Raila Dava Zechel Dava Shinema Foras Rosh Isha Mikan, that it's a Gnai, the Benais Yisrael who are married, to go Prue Rosh. So why does it use that expression, Rafal Pishain Raila Dava Zechel Dava? That expression perhaps sounds like it's only a Din Derabban. Nunu. It's really Yesh has a whole discussion about that thing, whether when the Gemara said in Ksuba's Dafayin Beis that it's a din deraisa, does it really mean it or not? But Moshe Feinstein assumes that it really means it. Moshe assumes that a married woman has to cover her hair as a din deraisa. He says a woman who's divorced or whose husband died, a woman is an almana rushan, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that she has to continue to cover her hair, he thinks that that's only the Rabban. A kozman that the woman is married, he thinks that that's a din deraisa. And he has a difference in Psak Halacha with respect to certain cases that are Sofek. So he says, if she's still married, so that's Sofek Deraisa L'chumen. If she's divorced or she's widowed, so then he says it would be a Sofek Derabbanan L'chumen. Good kasha? No, it's a good kasha. The Gemara has a klal, a bracha that doesn't have Shem and Malchus is not considered a bracha. Maybe it means midirabbanan and it's not a bracha, maybe minatari. It is a bracha. I don't know. It's a good kasha. The Kohen Gadol does not have a head to be mitami to the Zayin Krov, but the Gemara says that both the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot have a greater head to the Zayin Krov, namely a meis mitzvah. They're permitted to be mitami to the meis mitzvah. The Rambam and the Gaonim and the Chachmi Svara and the Mechaber Paskin, the Ravelus Yom Rishon is their Eisim. When a relative dies, the obligation to observe Ravelus is Menater. And the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs derives it from this Pasuk, Lo Yitamo. Lo Yitamo means that the Kohen has to be Metame to the Meis, Derech Isaskos and the Kvura. As part, that's 2 days in Taisus, in Sochem, in Zara. Taisus has two opinions about that. Let's say one of the seven relatives died, and today is Shabbos. We're not going to bury the mace on Shabbos. Even on day Shabbos, you don't bury a mace on Shabbos. It's a bizoyim for the mace to be buried on Shabbos. So do you say that the heter for the kohen to be metamed to the Zion Kerovim applies even on Shabbos when he's not being metapel in the Kfura? Or do you say, no, it only applies bimosachol when he's being oisik in the Kfura? So that's 2 days in Tosis, and in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says lechumer, that the kohen is not permitted to be metamed to the maize on Shabbos because there's no hisaskus in the Kfura. And the Rambam understands also like that, that lo yitamo means he has a mitzvah, he passes like Rabbi Kiva, it's a chayv, it's a mitzvah to be mitameh to design kravim, berach is saskus in the kvura, and he says that this is saskus in the kvura is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of avelus, one of the aspects of nihul gavelus, and the mitzvah of avelus is rooted in this pasuk. This is the mitzvah, the obligation to observe shiva for 7 days and shloshim for 30 days. And sometimes Yid Beis Chodesh for a whole year, that's only, those details are wrong with the Rabbanan. But the obligation to observe a full Nihu Gavelus for 1 day, so the Rambam thinks that that's a din deraisa. Where did he get this from? The Rambam and the Gaonim and the Mechaber like that is based on the Brice and the Gemara in Moed Kot in the third Terek, where the Gemara has an expression, Kol Shehakoy Mitamei Lo, the Oval is Mesabel Olov. All the relatives mentioned in Chumash, that the kohen is metami to them, so the kroivim, if such a person should die, so the relatives, even if they're not kohanim, have to be mesabel aleihem. And then it says the tanoim added on additional relatives, even if it's a half brother and a half sister from the mother's side, not from the father's side, even if it's achos and nesua, tumah is only achos apsilu shaloh isiliyish. Achos and nesua is added on by the later tanoim. So it sounds, from the simple reading of the Brice, as if the Avelus, certain aspects of Avelus are deraisa, based on this pasuk of lo yitam. And it's based on this also that the Gemara says also in the third paragraph of Kot, that the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus on any of the relatives. There's no Avelus, the Rambam writes not so, but the Gemara says the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. Why not? So the Pashtus is because it says the Kohen Gadol lo yitam. He's not allowed to be mitame to any of the kroivim. And the Tumas HaKroivim means a form of Nihu Gavelus. It says the Kohen Gadol does not Metame, means that he's not Noi Gavelus. He doesn't observe any Avelus at all. That's how it says in the Gemara. The Torah has the Dinim of Mum. There's a Mum Pasels and a Kohen. If a Kohen is the Bamum, he's not allowed to be Makrif Karbanis. He still has a Kedushas Kohen. It says he's permitted to eat Kachi Kachi. He has a full Kedushas Kohen. He's not allowed to be Metamil Mesim. He's not allowed to marry a Rusha Zainab Halola. But he's Pasel to be Makrif Karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Din of Bamum even applies to the Karbanis. It's shared in common between the Karbanis and the Kohanim. A Karban, which has a Mum, is pasal lahakre gavim is bechanu chomish lists off all of the mum. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a mum travu a mum maiver. If you makrev the carbon while it has a mum, so you're not yaitzei the mitzvah. The difference is if it's only a mum maiver, if it's going to heal by itself, but then after it heals, then the carbon is kosher lahakre. Ki mashchasam bohem mum ba. So the Gemara understands only mashchasam bohem mum ba. Kol zman she mum ba. It's possible. After the mumayva heals by itself, then you can be makriv the korban on the mizbech. And then the Tesis Yishanim points out in Yuma, in Perek Shnei Sira Yom Kippurim, Tesis Yishanim points out the Gemara talks about a psul dichoy. There is a din of korbanis if you had a korban that was kosher, and then for some reason or another something came up which prevents you from being makriv the korban on the mizbech. I said the mizbech was nidgam. The mizbech has to be merubah, has to be a square. Let's say one of the stones on the mizbeach fell out. Somebody dropped a hand grenade in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the stones on the mizbeach fell out. So you can't be makar of any karbanis, even on the other side, because the whole mizbeach has to be merubah, square. So if they fix the mizbeach, and now it's okay. So the deal is that any karbanis, let's say I shechted a carbon, I have the dam, and all of a sudden the mizbeach collapses. So that dam, I cannot wait an hour and have the get a mason. And they'll fix the mizbeach and they'll make it merubah again, and now I'll be zarek to dam. The Gemara says, no, since there was a reason that prevented me, even though it was only temporary, that prevented me from being makriv of the carbon, so the chol v'nitcha yidoche, even after that reason disappears, you're not allowed to be makriv of the carbon later. So the mokah, that's a din of dichoy. Even though the siba, this reason for which you're unable to be marked with the carbon temporarily goes away, Allah says you're not allowed to be marked with the carbon even later on. The psul of dichli. So Taisus Yishanim Yuma writes on the sugi of Berach Nasira that the marker is from this pasuk, that it implies only ki mashchasam b'hem mum b'am, only by mum is there such a din, that if you have a mumayv and it gets better by itself, then you can be marked with the carbon. But any other, if the carbon was unable to be carved on the mizbech for any other reason, even if the reason is taken care of, and now there's no siba not to be makir, that I say it's a psul of dichli. This is the makir of that din. One of the mumim that the Torah lists off by the Bemis is umach v'chasas v'nasuk v'charas lois akriv ol Hashem. If there's a mum in the beitzim of the zohar, and then it continues to say uvi arzachem lois asim. So the Gemara, Rashi quotes from the Gemara that this pasuk "Yivartchem lo yisasa" means that you're not allowed to castrate any animal. It's an issur to be misaris behema chayv yoyif. The Gemara even says an insect. You're not allowed to be misaris even an insect. The Gemara in the second parak in Baba Basra says, and certainly a human being is an issur serious on a human being, and then even to be misaris one who is already misuras. Let's say the person is enoroi laholid anyway. But then you're going to cause damage to the Eva Haleda, another damage to the Eva Haleda, that if not for the first damage, this would have caused that person or that animal to be a Soros. The Gemara says that a Misar Sacha Misar is also Moike. Gemara in Shabbos says also another. To do the act of Sirus is an Issa. The original Pasuk happens to be speaking of that male animals. What about female animals? What about by Nikavis, women? So the Rambam writes that if one is Misaris a woman, there's an Issa, but he's ain't a loike. So that's a big question in Achrenim. What did the Rambam mean? There's an Issa, there ain't a loike. It means it's an Issa, the Rabbanon. Because the original Pasuk only talks about a Zohar, or perhaps he meant no. In the Rambam, you have a lot of times an Issa, there Issa, there ain't a loike. It's like Chatzishir Asmanatar. You have an Issa, there Issa, there ain't a loike. It could be that the Rambam means to say that there is an Issa, there Issa, there. So the Rabbah and Ebenezer like that, the end of Simon Hay. They talk about Sirus by behemoths and Sirus by human beings. So the Bir Agro implies that that the Issa Sirus by Nikavis is a deraisa, even in the Shita Saram, it is a deraisa. But it's just that it's not explicit in the Chumash, that's why it's saying a like. But the Gemara does have certain coolers. Sirus Isha is slightly less chomer than Sirus Zohar. So the Gemara talks about Koshel Ikorin. What about taking some kind of a chemical, swallowing some kind of a chemical that causes the person to become soris. So the Gemara says that by women, if the woman has pain from child birth, the Gemara says if Rapriya's wife had a set of twins of boys and then she had a set of twin girls and then it was too hard for her, it was too difficult for her to, she saw she's going to have another, she's going to keep on having twins or more. So she wants to take a koshel ikorin. So the Gemara says that under such circumstances it's permissible for a man to take a koshel ikorin, we assume is also. For a woman, we assume it's mutter if it's a big shas adcha. That's a question. Why? Why is that so? If you hold that siras by nashim is only the rabbanon, it's easier to be mekel if it's an isa deraisa without malchus. So why is it considered less chum? So that's a big discussion in Pesukim. Sometimes it's medically recommended to be misaris someone, so then you have serious shaylas. If it's mishum safik sakana, so pituach nefesh is derech kol terkula. What if it's not mishum safik sakana? So Moshe has tshuvas. So the gedolim have tshuvas about it. When do you have a right to be mekel on serious?
Because
of the mum kavua means that it won't get better by itself. If you do surgery, it'll get better. That's still a mum kavua. Still a mum kavua. If it gets better, then you could be makir. Then you can still be makir because the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. Why is mum oiver an exception to the rule? I don't think anybody thinks that mum oiver is a special sibur. So half of the Tanaim say that the reason why mum oiver, you don't apply the din of dichui, is because balei chayim ein nidah. The whole din of dichui only sets in after you've already done the shechita. You've already done the first avoida and already has a kedushas carbon. So the reason why a mumayver is an exception to the rule is not so much because a mumayver is different, but rather because it only has kedushas aguf l'mizbech. It doesn't have kedushas korban yet, before the shechita. So even a mum kavua, which is healed by day surgery, would be the same. That's the way we paskin. The balechai mein nidoch. That's how the Rambam paskin. Even according to the other Tan and the other Amaroi, who say that balechai mein nidochim, and they said the only exception to the rule is mum. I don't think it only means a mum kavua. If you have a mum kavua and you did surgery, it'll also be. The halacha says that it's a mum aiver. Let's say if you have a mum aiver that you know is not going to get better by itself unless you'll do surgery. So there's a taisis mcheres. Taisis points out that that's called a mum aiver. That's called a mum kavua. And you can be paid to the animal. But I plan to do surgery. The minute after he's going to be paid to the animal, he's going to do the surgery and remove the whole mum. So it doesn't make a difference. Right now, it's a mum. Right now, it's a mum kavua. The halacha says a mum kavua, you can be paid. But if you were not paid, let's say you did the surgery and you got better, so then no more mum. I think everybody would agree then that it wouldn't be possible because of bichur. To permit birth control. The Gemara says that if a person is supposed to get married at a young age, I recommend everybody should get married pretty young. I says we give you a grace period, 20. So 20. Supposed to get married young. So the Gemara says an exception to the rule is if the guy is learning and he's very much learning, he's going to get married, he's going to have to make a parnas, he's going to support the wife and the children. Unless the girl's able to support him or he has a Yerusha or something. But if it's going to be an issue that he's going to get married, he won't be able to continue learning. So then Gemara says he's allowed to postpone getting married. So if there are methods of birth control where there's no violation of Hashchasa Zera, which many Poskim hold there are such methods, so then one would recommend let the guy get married and practice birth control. Why should you tell him not to get married and wait to meet a different girl? He already met a nice girl now, so let him get married now. And let him practice birth control if he feels that having the children is going to interfere with his ability to be matzliach and learning. There's a shaila that comes up all the time. Let's say we have in our generation a lot of people are becoming balei tshuva, and they come to realization after a couple of months, after a couple of years, that they're mamzerim, that their mothers remarried without a get, that they are mamzerim. So the question is, are they mechuyev to fulfill the mitzvah pirah v'rivya? The children are going to be mamzerim. They can't marry a isha k'sheira because lo yavam mamzer b'kal Hashem. So they either have to marry another mamzeris, or they have to marry a giyaris. Even if they marry a giyaris, the children will be mamzerim. Or let's say a mamzeris, a girl realizes she's a mamzer, so she'll marry a ger. So right then, if either the father or the mother is a mamzer, even though the marriage was beheter, a mamzer or mamzeris is permitted to marry a ger or a giyaris, but still the children will be mamzer. So is there an obligation to fulfill piriridity in such a case, or would you recommend that the person should remain single? So that's a shaila in the Prima Godim. It's interesting when you look in the Oitzah HaPaskim, and Eben Ezra that has a leak of the Vod Achranim. So the first siman in Eben Ezra discusses the mitzvah of piriridity. So that's the first sif cotton, as if that's the most burning issue in the world. The first sif cotton in the Oitzah HaPaskim on Eben Ezra is this question. In certain areas, this is the most pressing issue. As a mamzer or a mamzeres have a mitzvah to get married and have children. What kind of a mitzvah is that? To bring mamzerim into the world. So some recommended this solution to the problem. This will only work in one direction. Let the mamzer marry a gioris and practice birth control. And whenever they're interested in having children, let him use artificial insemination. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush that even if the donor, even if the father of the baby is a mamzer, but it's done by artificial insemination, so then he's mechadish that the vlad will not be a mamzer. Because the vlad is, that probably means that the vlad is not mesiachis after the father. It means that the child will not be a kohen. Let's say a mamzer marries a Jewish girl and they have a child. not through the normal means, but they have a child through artificial inseminations. And the stomach, if you say artificial insemination, the blood is not Mashiach, it's after the father. So the child will not be a mamzer, won't be, let's say, so if the father is a kohen, the child won't be a kohen either. Father's a lady, the child won't be a lady either. He'll only have a mother. He won't have a father at all. So maybe in such a case, we would recommend practicing birth control. But with a parent, one of the parents is a mamzer. It's hard to say it's a mitzvah for them to have children. A mitzvah to be marba mamzer and be Yisrael. Shvera eitzah. No, it's a, what Rav Moshe said is questionable whether that's true. Rav Moshe has two chidushim. The one chidush he talks about a married couple who can't have children. Let's say the husband is unable to have children, so they'll use zera mi'ishacher, artificial insemination, from someone other than her husband. So he assumes that there's no violation in doing the artificial insemination. Then the question is, let the child be a mamzer. The child is born from a father and a mother, couldn't have had tzvi'is kiddushin with each other because this woman is married to someone else. Rav Moshe Mechadesh, no, since nobody violated the iser of eishes ish, so the child is not a mamzer. So that here, if we understand what he said, we understand why there are those who disagree with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe argues the point, nobody violated the iser of eishes ish, so how can you create mamzer? But then Rav Moshe has a further step. He says that even if the father is a mamzer, even if a man is a mamzer and you use his zera to artificially inseminate a woman, so you're not interested in creating mamzeres, you're just talking about transmitting the psul mamzeres to the next generation. So he says it doesn't go over because there was no maisabiyah. Why not? Why doesn't it go over? So, maybe that's what he's suggesting, that the vlad is not mesachas after the father. The vlad is not mesachas after the father if it was born in a natural way. If it was born unnaturally, so the child is on a Mesiachas after the mother, she carried the baby. Not Mesiachas after the father. So not Mesiachas after the father, so if the father is a mamzer, the child will not be a mamzer. So that's a shaila. Let's say sometimes you have a normal case. A kohen is married, and they can't have children in a normal fashion, and they have to have assistance from the doctors. So they use the Zera HaBaal, and they impregnate his own wife. So then they'll come out that the children are not kohanim. That's usually assumed not to be the case. We usually assume that the children are kohanim.
Rav Moshe, in that
shulah,
that
That's a question in Rishonim, right? Whether that is so or not. Whether the Vlad is Mesiachas after the father, if the Vlad was born, not through the normal fashion. That's a question. Moshe talks about it, yeah. At the end of Parshas Hamor, you have the Parshas Hamoados, which appears three times in the Chumash. You have it in Amor, and you have it in Pinchas, and you have it in Re'ei. In Amor, the Torah gives you a brief sketch of the Avim Tovim with respect to the Issa Malacha. And in Pinchas, the Torah speaks about the Kedushas HaMoados with respect to the Chiyuv HaMusafim. And in Parshas Re'ei, the Torah speaks about the different Avim Tovim with respect to the Chodes of Chagiga and Ria, Oilos Ria and Chagiga, the Mitzvah Sayoy. Our practice is, the Gemara says that our practice, the Mishnayos say, our practice is that on the first day Pesach and on the first day, on the second day Pesach, and on the first two days of Sukkot, we lay from Parshas Emor, and we lay from Parshas Re'ei on the last days of Pesach, on the last days of Sukkot. Why did we decide to lay on the first days from Emor? And on the last days from Re'ei, we learn every day from Pinchas. Because we learn from Pinchas about the Muslims, and that's from the days of the Gaonim. So this is quote, that's not in the Gemara, that's from the Gaonim, that you take out a separate Sefer Torah, and you learn from Parshas Pinchas about the Musafim. But why did the Tanoim choose like that? They were, on the first days we should learn from Amor, and the last days we should learn from Re'ei, as Rav Soloveitchik suggested. not sure whether he said it jokingly or he really meant that. So I think he really meant it. He said that in Parshas Amor, the Torah is speaking about the Yisim Malacha. So you want to tell him from day number one, no one do Malacha. What good is it going to do if you're going to wait till the last day Pesach to tell him you weren't allowed to do Malacha last week? You wait till the last day Sukkot to tell him, notify him, you weren't allowed to do Malacha last week. Good morning. Now they wake up and they tell him, you should tell him from day number one. But about the Leina, the last day from Parshas Re'ein, about the Chagiga and the Riyah and the Simcha, so that's Tashlumi called Shiva. There is a din of Tashlumi. So we lay on the last day, hey, just in case you forgot, they bring the Riyah and the Chagiga and the Simcha, there's still Tashlumi called Shiva. That was the suggestion that he made. The Torah says that to connect between Pesach and Shavuos, you have Sfiras HaOmer. And the Gemara points out in Chagiga, in the second parak in Chagiga, that there seems to be a bit of a discrepancy between the way the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is presented in Parshas Hamor and the way it's presented in Parshas Re'eh. Here it says, Esfartim Lachem Tisperu Hamishim Yom, you count 50 days. And there it says, Shivu Shavuos Tisperuch, you count the weeks. So which is it? Do you count the weeks or do you count the days? So Abai says, no contradiction. Mitzvah Mim Niyomi or Mitzvah Mim Nishavu, they're both true. Mitzvah to count the days and Mitzvah to count the weeks. So that's why we said regarding today, see, today's the 32nd day. That makes 4 weeks and 4 days in Sphere Sign. So you count both the days and the weeks. So the Gemara Chagiga in the second parak has an interesting comment. That depending on how you're counting, that's going to determine the end result. What will Shavuos be? So because he counts weeks, so Shavuos is established as a Yom Tov of a week. And because he counts days, Shavuos is established as a Yom Tov of the day. With respect to what you say that Shavuos is a week, it's not true. Shavuos for the purpose of Yisim Malacha, as well as for the purpose of Hakrovas HaMasofim, is only a Yom Tov of one day. It's not a Yom Tov of one week. So the Mishnah says in the second parak in Chagiga that whoever didn't bring the Korban Oila, the Shalom Chagiga on Shavuos has Tashlum in the first 6 days after Shavuos. And the Gemara offers different suggestions. How did the Tanoim figure out this din? The one marker is from the institution of Sfiras HaOmer. From the fact that you count both the weeks and the days, that's for the purpose of establishing the Yom Tov Shavuos as both a holiday of one day, as well as a holiday of a whole week. So it's a holiday of a whole week for the purpose of Tashlum and Kol Shiva. That's why we understand the opinion of the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, who writes in his sefer regarding Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh, is it the rice of the Rabbanon? So it's the Gemara raises the issue, and the Maskan of the Machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam and the Goyim. Tosfos claims that Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh is the Rabbanon. The Rambam and the Goyim hold that Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh is the rice. So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim has a compromise shita. He thinks that Sfiras HaOmer regarding the days Bizman Azez Deraisa, and regarding the weeks is only the Rabbanon. So he says it based on the Pesukim in Chumash. But even without the Diyukim from the Pesukim in the Chumash, we understand why it is so. Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, what are you going to establish Shavuos as a Yom Tov of a whole week? For what purpose? For the purpose of Tashlum and for Chagiga. There is no Beis HaMikdash, there isn't going to be any Chagiga. So you don't need any Tashlum. But to establish Shavuos as a Yom Tov for a day is relevant for Yisim Malacha. So that's Noeg, even Mizman Hazeh. The Gemara has like that. Ameim Amani Yom V'loi Mani Shavuos. He only counted the days and he didn't count the weeks. So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim understands that's the reason why, because the days today are Menatar and the weeks don't exist at all. We count the days and the weeks, so he assumes that the weeks are only with the Rabbanon. So we have the gears in the Gemara. Meimah counted the days and he didn't count the weeks. Omar Zechel HaMikdash. What Zechel HaMikdash? What, the days are always Zechel HaMikdash? So the way we have the gears in the Gemara doesn't read straight. But the Rebbe Yeruchim must have had a different gears in the Gemara. Meimah counted the days and he didn't count the weeks because there's no Beis HaMikdash today, so what do you mean Shavuos to be established as a whole week? And then it says Rabbanu Debei Rav Ashi didn't follow Ameimah's practice. They counted the days and the weeks, and they said Zechel HaMikdash. We have in the Gemara that Ameimah didn't count the weeks because he said it's only Zechel HaMikdash. So the Mefarshim tried to understand, so therefore it's only the Rabbanu said, if you only make partial Zechel HaMikdash. But the Rabbi Yerucham apparently didn't have that gear. He had Ameimah counted the days and not the weeks. That's the din deraisa. That the days are deraisa. It's better than the weeks. There's no chiyuv. And the Rabbanu the Bei Rav Ashi, the Gemara quotes Rabbanu the Bei Rav Ashi counted both the days and the weeks because they said that's Zechel HaMikdash. To count the weeks is better than Zechel HaMikdash. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos raises a question. Why don't we recite two distinct brachas, one on counting the days and one on counting the weeks? If it's really mitzvah the mimni yomi, mitzvah the mimni shavui, then why not say two brachas? So the Rambam says, nah, it's not two distinct mitzvahs. It belongs in one mitzvah, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says the mitzvah is fulfilled by counting days and weeks together. It's not two different mitzvahs, and that's why you don't say two brachas. That's the pashtus like the Rambam says. So the Rabbein Yeruchim is also bothered with that kasha. Rabbein Yeruchim is after the Rambam. From a different school of thought, in the Pali HaTesis Shita. So Rabbein Yeruchim is bothered with the kasha. So he says, no, they're really two distinct mitzvahs, to count the days and to count the weeks. And Bismancha, Beis HaMikdash, HaYakayim, and they were both their raisa, you would say two brachas. One for counting the days and one for counting the weeks. But Bismanazeh, since the counting of the days is the right, the counting of the weeks is only the Rabbanon, and you already said a brach on the counting of the days, so it's not necessary to say a brach on the counting of the weeks. Surely the Gemara says one recites a bichas hamitzvah even when performing a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. The Gemara points to that both with respect to Mikra Megillah as well as Hadlokas Neiris Chanukah, that despite the fact that the mitzvahs are only in the Rabbanon, you still say a bracha, you still say Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzivonu. But if Ben Kovakol, you're performing a mitzvah derais in conjunction with a mitzvah derabonon, and you said a bracha on the mitzvah derais, so then he says there's no need to recite the bracha on the mitzvah derabonon. Something similar to what the Tosis points out in Makkos, in the beginning of the third parak of Makkos, Elohein Aloikin. Let's say a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, that's an Issa Derais. The Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalutza, that's an Issa Derabon. If the Kohen lives with a Grusha, we give him Malkus Derais. If the Kohen lives with a Chalutza, we give him Makkos Mardis Derabon. What if he has two wives, both prohibited marriages? One is a Grusha, one is a Chalutza, and you only gave one Hasroah. So if the Kohen has two wives, both Grushas, and he gave Masra in advance, I think Mar says he gets twice Malkus. He gave Masra in advance, don't be with this wife and with that wife, because he's going to give you Malkus. So you give him twice Malkus, it's Guf and Mechloken. But what happens if one is a Grusha, one is a Chalutza? So since the Chalutza is only the Rabbanon, so true, one who violates the Issa Chalutza, the Rabbanon deserves Malkus Mardus. But if Ben Kovaka, we're giving the Malkus the Raisa because of the Grusha, and Chalutza is a hemshech of Grusha, so then you don't give Makkos Mardus in addition to the Malkus Derais. It's covered with the Malkus Derais. So Rabbeinu Yeruchim has some similar notion over here. He says that it's only Bizman Azeh, that the counting of the weeks is only the Rabbanon. That's why we don't recite a separate bracha. But Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, and the counting of the weeks was also Derais. He claims that they would have taktis said that we don't have any siddurim left from the times of the from the Zman HaBayis. How come we taktis don't have any siddurim left from the times of the Bayis? So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, in Perek called Kisvei, 24 prokim in Masechah Shabbos, speaking the Sichta. So Perek called Kisvei, the Gemara says on the first daf that seems to say that included in the Isser of writing down Torah Shebal Peh was that you're not permitted to write down the Nusach HaTfilah. That's also considered Torah Shebal Peh. You're not allowed to write down brachas, you're not allowed to write down the Nusach HaTfilah. So we'll never know who's right. We'll never know who's right. The Rabbi Yerucham claims that Bizman Shabbos Mikdash Kayam, he's trying to reconstruct history. So he says, Avada, they said two brachas, one in the days, one in the weeks. It's only Bizman Hazeh. That the counting in the weeks is the Rabbanan. Saying a bracha anyway, and the counting in the days, so there's no need to say a second bracha. But Bizman and Mikdash, they'll both be there, I said, then we should take a say two brachas. And the Rambam says it's not true. That they're not two distinct brachas, it's all part of the same bracha. All part of the same mitzvah. At the end of Parshas Emor, there's a famous Ramban who presents his disagreement with the Bali Atosis, the Chachmei HaTzafatim. And the Mishnah Melech has a long essay on this Ramban in his Drush Sefer that's entitled Parashas Drochim, where he understood that the machlokes between the Bali Atosis and the Ramban was what was the status of the Ovis Kodeh Matan Torah. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their descendants, did they have the status already of Bnei Yisrael, even Kodeh Matan Torah, or no? That the Yovis Baba Yotzim Mechlal Bnei Noach. So the Mishnah Melech assumed that this was the machlokes between the Ramban and the Bali Atosis. Why? Because their argument is the following. The Pasuk says that the one who was the Mekalalas Hashem, the Megadev, was his mother was Jewish and his father was not Jewish. The father was a Mitzri and the mother was Israeli. So we know that the din is in the Mishnah, it says whenever you have a mixed marriage and the father is not Jewish and the mother is Jewish, and we know the status of the child is that the child is a Jew. So the Toras Kohanim has a comment on this pasuk. Rashi quotes, B'sof b'nei Yisrael malamed shen is gayer. What do you mean Shin is God? Why does he have to convert? He was Jewish. His mother was Jewish and his father is a non-Jew, so he doesn't have to convert. So the Gemara says, so there is an opinion that Akam Haba Basal Avlat Kasha means a Kasha Goy. He's not Jewish and he has to convert. That's a minority opinion that's not really generally accepted. Minority, even though it appears in Rashi and Tosfos. Minority. The Marsha screams in the Kiddushin and Yevamos. He said, "What's going on?" Rashi and Tosfos say it like that. But still, it is a Rashi, it is a Tosfos. But that was the minority opinion. So, means he's not a mamzer. If he'll want to convert, he won't be a mamzer. If he would have been Jewish, Akma Bomas Yisrael, if he would declare that he's a mamzer, it means that he's Jewish and he's a mamzer. If he's a non-Jew, he can't be considered a mamzer. And a non-Jew who converts, let's say a brother and a sister, non-Jewish, practice incest, and they have a child, and that child decides to convert. So if he are Yisrael Kasha, he won't carry over the Psul Mamzer because he was never a mamzer in the first place. So if Akma Bobas Yisrael would have been Jewish, then he would have been a mamzer. But the reason why he's kosher, he's not a mamzer, because he's not Jewish. Even when he'll convert, he'll be Jewish, and then there won't be any Israel mamzers. So there was such a minority opinion. Rashi writes like that in more than one place, and Tosfos sounds like that in more than one place, and the Marsha points it out. Rabbi Kivega keeps on bringing it up on Yeriday more than once. Some, I think Reb Shlomo Kluger writes in one place, Chalila v'chalila, not to require that the child should be Megayer. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. So that's what the Rishonim were bothered with. What's going on, Malamed Shin is Gair? What does he have to have Geiris for? The majority of Rishonim hold he does need Geiris. So they quote, the Bali Atayis quote, Rabbi Natam says, Malamed Shin is Gair means, Shebol Agur v'toch b'nei Yisrael. It doesn't mean he converted to Judaism. He didn't have to convert. He moved into the Machaneh. Even though he didn't belong to any shevet, because the mishpachosim leveis avosim, what shevet he belonged to was determined by the father, and his father was a Mitzri, but he moved in with the rest of the machna. So the other Bali Atosis say, what do you mean shin is gayer? Shin is gayer means bolo guf tov bnei yisrael. So it doesn't fit in with the word. It doesn't say that. It says mizgayer. So that's a big problem. So some of the Rishonim say that that halacha that we know, that the status of the child in an infant marriage is determined by the mother, that then only began after Matan Torah. The Torah Matan Torah, that then didn't apply. And the Ramban disagrees. Ramban quotes that from the Baal HaTosis, and he disagrees. Kodem Matan Torah, v'hoi mishpat alei lecha achar ha-zochar, v'umas alei lecha achar ha-zochar, v'ein daitika. He says, from the time Avraham Avinu was bo bebris, how you Yisraelim have a goyim bo yischashvu, and avlad hoi lecha achar ha-eim. So the Mishnah Melech understood that this was the machlokes between the Chachmei HaTzorfatim, quoted by the Ramban, and the Ramban Shita. Whether the oldest Kodem Matan Torah had the status of Bnei Yisrael already, so the Ramban person should have been determined by the mother, or no, they still had the status of Bnei Neach. Gumas Aloy Chachar HaZohar should be determined by the father. But this is not necessarily, this may appear to be so in other places. There is a Gemara in the end of Cheskes HaBatim. The Gemara says, one of the Amoraim, Rabbi Banor, was mitzayin all the cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says you have to be mitzayin the cemetery so Kohanim will know not to be mitamei l'meisim. So Rabbi Noah was in charge of being mitzayin the Moras HaMachpelah so Kohanim should know where not to go. You see, from the Gemara, Kohanim are not allowed to go in the Moras HaMachpelah. So the famous Gemara. So the Taisus is bothered with the Kasha and not Gemara. But who's buried in the Moras HaMachpelah? They're all non-Jews. Adam Arishin, Chava, and Avram, and Zorah, and Yitzchak, and Rivka. They're all not Jewish people. Everybody called him out of Torah. So nobody's Mitami Ba'ohel. You only have to be Mitzayin Kvoris with a Mitami Ba'ohel. Mitami B'magra, what? The kind is going to walk down. They won't let him walk down to the Kevah, to the actual Kevah. So what is the concern? That's Taisus Kamsh. So Taisus says, the halacha doesn't say that a non-Jew is not mitami ba'ohel. The halacha says Adam ki yamas ba'ohel. One is called Adam. Adam Rishon was Adam. That was his name, Adam. Adam is mitami ba'ohel. Avraham Avinu is referred to Adam hagadol ba'anokim apostles. Avraham Avinu is also mitami ba'ohel. Whoever is called an Adam, usually we assume Matan kriyim Adam, Einu misadam kriyim Adam. But there is some Ummah Soilam who are Kurim Adam. Adam Arishan is Avad Adam. And Avraham Avinu was also Adam. And the Ramban says, what are they playing games about that? What do you mean? We're talking about Jewish people. Jewish people. I'm a Tammy Boyle. Well, it has to do with what his name is Adam. His name is not Adam. So it could well be that there is such a machlek as the Baalei HaTosis and the Ramban. But they're always quite a Matan Torah. Had the Dinah B'nai Yisola B'ninah. But this Ramban at the end of Amar doesn't necessarily say that. This could be a different issue. It could well be that even the Baalei HaTosis also agree that these Baalei HaTosis, the Tzarfatim, not the Ramban, was, could even be that they hold the Ovis Kodim Matan Torah to have the status of the Yisrael. But still, this Mishnah that says that in a mixed marriage the status of the shul is determined by the mother, that could be that only began after Matan Torah for some reason or another. But it doesn't necessarily have to go along with the whole full shita like the Mishnah Melech says, that the Baalei HaTosis hold that Kodim Matan Torah they didn't have the Din of Yisrael. Could be they did have the Din of Yisrael, but this detail is a different halacha. That's you have to learn more Gemaras to know why should this be different. Manish Tana, always we say that the status of the children in a mixed marriage is always determined by the father. If the father is a kohen and the mother is not, so the child is a kohen. If the father is a lady, the mother is not, the status of the child is determined by the father. If you have two non-Jews marry, so the status of the child is determined again by the father. Whether the child is an Amaleki, a Mitzri, a Knaini, it's always determined by the father. And all of a sudden, if it's a mixed marriage where one parent is Jewish, one parent is non-Jewish, then it's determined by the mother. So there must be a reason for that. So it could be that based on a pasuk, it is clearly based on a pasuk. So it could be that pasuk only began after Matan Torah for some reason or another. So it could be that there's a good reason, but it's not necessarily connected with this issue. But that's how the Mishnah Melech presents. Mishnah Melech in the essay in Parashas Drachim assumes this is the Nekudas HaMachlokes, whether the Obis Kod Matar already had the Din of Yisrael or not. It didn't change until Man HaSina. Okay, fine. This Shabbos, everybody's invited. Come on, come on. Rabbi Chalap is the guest in Yeshiva. I am not going to be here. I am obligated to go out of town, and I won't be here on Sunday. Monday, I'll try to wrap